Today on Real Life Radio.
Apparently, based upon what Jesus said in Matthew 7:6, there's a philosophy of the world that is just so extremely hostile that you need to be wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. And you need to be careful when you go to certain environments. I'm not saying don't share. I'm saying, Lord, open the door for me to share.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
You know, in a hectic world, it's hard to find a moment's peace. A beautiful sunrise on a quiet beach gives temporary solace. But daily inspiration that will guide and uplift our spirits is what we need the most. It's why people of all ages are turning to devotions with Jack Hibbs. There's a new devotion each week, and previous devotions you can go to start each day with purpose and hope. Jack Hibbs devotions are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message called Not of This World, Part 2. Now, 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and it's a study on how to stay true to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You see, as followers of Christ, we're not satisfied with what the world has to offer. Only God's wisdom is complete and opens our understanding. Today, Pastor Jack teaches us that the same God who created the universe is the same God who suffered and died for our sins through His Son, Jesus Christ. Life's meaning can only be found through Him. Now, with his message called Not of This World, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Ephesians 3:7, he says, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Verse 8, to me, who am least than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the ages, this is amazing, you guys. God knew before time ever began that this gospel message would be given to you right now at this very hour, from which the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Jesus Christ is the creator, the gospel, the Jesus of the cross, is the Jesus of the tomb, is the Jesus of the resurrection, is the Jesus of creation. Do you know what Jesus you're worshiping? Paul is saying, man, if you know what Jesus you have, the Jesus Christ of the Bible, these are the unsearchable riches of Christ. As an awesome thing to consider. You guys, I had an amazing eye-opening experience this week. I got to be a speaker with some incredible brains. I had no brains. I have no brains. It's just that they wanted a pastor's perspective on this thing. And you guys, there was a senior bazillionaire executive who loves Jesus. And that's why we were together at this thing. The guy's a billionaire. And you know what the whole, he spoke. In fact, he listens to our radio program. He came up and he said, I want to thank you for Real Radio. Lives in Newport Beach. Listen to this. The whole thing was about getting the gospel to the ends of the earth, buying satellites, getting the word of God, covering the globe. And in the next 10 years, we hope to reach 3 billion people. That's the project. That's the goal. It's all laid out. It's amazing. 3 billion people. 2.6 billion have already been reached. 3 billion. And it's all this and all this and all this. And then they said, Pastor Jack, come up here and tell people why. But here's my point. This guy stands there and he says, the same Jesus who we preach, I'm getting goosebumps because I can hear him in my mind on Thursday night. He says, the same Jesus we preach is the same one who created all things. I'm going to read this to you in a moment. Who created all things, even, because he's a tech guy, even the sand of the globe, which sand we take and make chips with and transmit bits of information by. Jesus is the creator of the sand that makes microchips to what? To preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. He's the creator. You say, oh, well, I've never heard that before. Well, welcome to church. Hang on to your seat. Write it down. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who? Who created? God. Colossians 1:4. For in him we have redemption through his blood. Who might that be, by the way? Jesus. The forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the preeminent one or firstborn over all creation. That word means he presided over all creation. For by him all things were created. Who? The one who died at the cross. For by him microchips are created. Everything that are in heaven and that on earth. Visible and what? Invisible things. Atoms. Whether thrones or dominions. Ooh, that's creepy. Those are spiritual beings. He made them. Principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things are the atomic glue. That's what that word means. Wow. John 1, in the beginning was the word, and we know who that word is. It goes on to say in verse 3, all things were made or created by him, and it goes on to say in verse 10, and the world was made by him, but the world did not know him. That word means the world did not recognize him. You guys, this pulpit, this everything. He's the one that holds it together. Imagine if Jesus was to relax right now, these atoms would fly apart. He's created it all. It's Jesus, the one we preach. Hebrews 1:1, God, who at various times in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, watch, through whom also he made the worlds. You see the S on the end of worlds? It's hard to say in English, almost impossible. It's cosmoses. You know cosmos? It's cosmos, cosmos, cosmos is. You guys, are you with me? Are you awake? This is the Bible. This is the Bible. The verse I just read is 2,000 years old. What does that verse say? Oh, someday when you guys come along in your advancement, you will build a Hubble telescope and you will launch it out into space. And you are going to look at what I've made. And when you look, you will find out in the 1990s that I have made cosmos, cosmoses, cosmos, 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 clusters and clusters of universes, ladies and gentlemen. And my Bible told me that 2,000 years ago. How can that happen? Because God is the author of the book. He's the same one who went to the cross. He's the same one who opened your eyes to the truth. And this is the one that Paul's preaching at the church of Corinth, because they were so messed up with human philosophy. Dangerous thing. Revelation 3:14, Jesus Christ is, look at, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the word is arche, the beginning. The word means principal or the originator or the architect. Are you an architect today? Isn't it amazing? If you're an architect, you have a little bit of the creativity of Jesus. Jesus is the architect. He is the creator, arche, the word in Greek, and it means this, the principal one, the originator, the architect, the creator, designer. Jesus is it. You ever think about Jesus wearing a robe and having a contractor's helmet on? You ever think about Jesus with a workman's belt on his hip? A carpenter's belt? You ever think about Jesus with blueprints for the universe? Isn't it amazing that right now Jesus is working, I would assume by his very nature, blueprints off of a plan, according to John 14, building you and I a place in heaven? Hello. Amen. The carpenter is building you and I a place in heaven. He did the world in what, how many days? Yeah, and how long has he been working on what you and I are going to? Around 2,000 years. What's it going to look like? Don't know. But we will be happy about it. The walkthrough will be amazing. That mystery, that hidden wisdom, the testimony of God is in fact Jesus Christ. He's the summation of it all. You guys, I get so excited to tell you that if you want to know this book, you are embarking upon the right track. And here's the one you're going to know. This book could fall out of an airplane and land on an island of people having no knowledge of the Bible whatsoever. If they picked up this book, in fact, I thank God for how I came to Jesus, because I didn't know any denominational persuasions. My wife did. And that lends itself to an exciting marriage. Well, I was taught this way. Well, where's that in the Bible? I don't know. The denomination said it was there somewhere. And I had no background. So when I, at Calvary Chapel, you just read the Bible. Well, here's the cool thing. You read the Bible, guess what you're going to come away with? Jesus. Okay? You are not going to get anyone else out of the book. You're going to hear the supporting actors, but it's all about Jesus. Behold, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, saith the Lord. That's even quoted again out of the Psalms. It's quoted again in the book of Hebrews concerning Jesus. Wow. Can you relate to this? I'm setting you up for a verse. This week, our little granddaughter wouldn't eat for like 24 or 48 hours, wouldn't eat. She's, 7 weeks old, wouldn't eat. And Lisa and I, we've been parents before. So it's like, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. But when you're a new parent, you never had a kid before, what are you gonna do? You're gonna go in between worry and prayer until really your worries become just your prayer life. Lord, 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 Lord. And what's the issue? Is she turning purple? No. She hasn't eaten. Is she urinating? Is she? Yes, she's fine. Okay, are you with me? Check all the bases. And as grandparents, it's like, just wait. We'll see. Because, you know, they're pretty tough. But when it's your first one, it's like this. And every day you recount the fingers and the toes, right? And they won't eat. Call the doctor. And those of you who have been parents, would you not, when your kids are sick, man, when your little ones are sick, I remember Ashley almost died at 8 months old. She had a blood disorder and they gave her less than 50% chance to live. It was very terrifying. Without a thought, you pray these kinds of prayers. God, please give whatever is on her and in her veins, give it to me. Lord, if you've got to, for whatever reasons, I'm not gonna go there because that's your world, but if it's got to be lived out in somebody, live it out in me, not her. Yes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes. That is a real human emotion.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
As painful as it is, I want to tell you, it is a God-given thing. It's real love. So much so that God peered over a cloud, as it were, and looked down into humanity on this globe. And what do you think he felt? I am going to go and become one of them. I am going to take what is making them sick on me. What you and I could not do, oh, how we've tried to get into that place of being sick for our kids. And you get so caught up with trying to give your kids a better life that you will even wish that you could take the exam for them or whatever it might be. Hey, take my blood, right? Are you a non-believer this morning? How can you be a non-believer? When you think of this, for God so looked down over a cloud, as it were, and saw your life. And said, doggone it. He didn't say that. I love them so much. I can't bear this cancer of sin. They're all S-I-N positive and I cannot take it anymore. I will go down. I will become S-I-N positive for them. I'll take the disease. I'll take the sickness. I will cancel out. And once that stinking rotten sin has had its course, and it has killed me, I will rise again with the vaccine. And I will have it in my hand and I will inject it into every or any child that will let me put it in them. It's called salvation. How can you not believe in God when you're willing to do it yourself for your child and God says, you are my kid? Oh my goodness, he's wonderful. Yeah, but you know what? My mom's sick. This world is full of sickness. And this world, by the way, read your Bible, is not what God intended. Don't blame God anymore. Stop it now. This world is the way that it is because of man's rebellion against God. And your life is what it is because you've rebelled against God. He's not going to hold it against you. He's going to say, just bring that rebellion to me. I died for it. I'll give you a shot. The shot is my love. Right into you. And the Holy Spirit goes to work and he begins to purge out the way that you've always lived your life. He's amazing. Colossians 1:27 says, to them, that is us, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Injection. Do you have Jesus in your veins? Verse 10 says, the deep things of God. Okay, this is serious. The deep things of God. These are the unsearchable things of God. Things that only the Holy Spirit knows about God. Check this out. This flies in the face of human philosophy. It's supposed to. Remember Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. It was filled with philosophers. Noah Webster, in his 1828 dictionary, says philosophy, compound word, phileo, which means love, and sophia, which means wisdom. The love of wisdom or earthly thought or ideas. Philosophy, the love of earthly thought and ideas. Let me ask you something. Is that what you want in your life? When you have cancer, do you want a philosopher to come from the local university and pontificate on you? Philosophy upon you? It's empty. Philosophy is man's wisdom without God. Think of that. Now, many of us have degrees and you have to take philosophy and psychology and all of this. And the most people just go through that to get their other degree, right? It's dangerous. Read C.S. Lewis. He'll tell you how scary it is. You want to read a philosopher? Read C.S. Lewis. At the end of his career of philosophizing, he says, you know what? This is idiotic. It's all dead without God. Didn't Solomon say that? It's vanity. Well, listen. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your care. Avoid the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is called, in the old King James, is what is called science. By professing it, philosophy, some have strayed concerning the faith. You ought to mark 1 Timothy 6:20. You want to know why? If you have a kid in college, they're battling this right now. They go to college in faith. They come out after their first year of college with no faith, but full of philosophy. Why? Because they have embraced profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is called science. But notice what the Bible says. It's falsely called science. You want to know why that's important? Our God, the Creator, is the God of science. And God's creation and God's word never contradict. But when you don't want to have a God in your logic or thinking, you will philosophize him right out of the factor. It's called evolution, atheism. James 3:15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Great example of that is Pilate. Remember Pilate? Jesus appears before Pilate, and I'll paraphrase it. It's John 18:37. You can read it later. Jesus appears before Pilate, and Pilate says, so you're a king, huh? And he says, you say that I am? Yes, I am. And all those who know me receive this truth. They understand this. And what's Pilate's famous words? He's a philosopher. What does he say? What is truth? Huh? Great question. The bonehead doesn't even wait around for the answer. The truth is standing in front of him. Jesus answers, and he goes out to the people, and he says, notice this, where his philosophy takes him. I find no fault in the man. I don't see anything wrong. And he stopped right there. You may be here today, and you're saying, I find no fault with Jesus. It's all you crazy Christians that drive me nuts. Listen, crazy Christians drive me nuts. I agree with you. But what's your beef with Jesus? Oh, I don't have any beef with Jesus. Well, then why don't you do what we're doing? And that's trust him. Because here's the deal. If you say, I have no problem with him, but you don't do what he says, then you are a victim of your own philosophy. What is truth? What is man's meaning? Jesus. What's the hope of life after death? Jesus, where can I be forgiven? These are all things that every human longs for. Yes? And the answer from Genesis to Revelation, from the moment you were born to the moment you die, is the same. Jesus. It's Jesus. And then you say, I find no fault in him, but I'm not about to go any further with him. You are a philosopher, and you're lost. It's a sad thing. So Pilate says, what is truth? The Bible tells us in Romans 1:22, professing to be wise, they've become fools. Wow. Man, you know, people ask me, they'll ask me in the foyer, they'll ask me wherever I'm at, they'll email me, they'll call, Pastor Jack, what university do you recommend for our child? I used to have no problem. And in the last 5 years, I have a real problem answering that question. Well, you don't mean Christian. Hey, I don't even know about some Christian schools anymore. I don't know, man. We have, as a church, we have got to get so militant about preparing our kids for the college campus. They should be, our kids should show up so suited in spiritual armor that that professor is going to pray for the class to be over. I'm very serious about this. You guys, we're invincible. We have the truth. It's been deposited in our hearts. We need to use it. Ooh, in light of that, can I say this? This is a big deal. Don't hear me wrong on this. I saw about 2 weeks ago, I told this to a kid, and I saw his eyebrows go up and down, and I said, wait a minute, I better explain what I just said to you. You don't get it. In Matthew 7, verse 6, Jesus said, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, and don't cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces." Leave that verse up on the screen for a second. Hear me loud and clear. The student who says, "I can't wait to get to college. I'm going to UCLA and I'm going to wear a Christian shirt every day, T-shirt, to campus." I said, "I don't think you should do that." "Jack, are you compromising?" "No, not at all." I cite this verse. Here's the reason why. Apparently, based upon what Jesus said in Matthew 7, 6, there's a philosophy of the world that is so extremely hostile that you need to be wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. And you need to be careful when you go to certain environments. I'm not saying don't share. I'm saying, Lord, open the door for me to share. We call that here at this church, especially with the call ministry, give me a divine appointment, Lord. Right? Why? You show up to a class at UCLA, and you say, even though their logo says, "Let there be light," from the Bible, they have forgotten that part. They forgot that part. If you show up and you say, "Hey, hi, everybody. My name's Jack, and I'm a Christian." You don't do that. What you do is say, "Hi, my name's Jack. Sit down." Just sit down and pray, "Lord, in this class, I want to shine for you. I'm going to ask you, God, make me a witness and call those who you want me to connect with. Call them out. Let me see something or have them come to me. But Lord, create a divine appointment." You do not show up in a class or in a, don't go to court. Someone told me this recently too. "When I swear in the Bible, I'm going to tell them that I'm, no," I said, "don't do that. There's casting pearl before swine. They will turn and rend you with it. They will say, oh, did you say that you pray, that you talk to God? Your Honor, I think this person's insane." Why does that happen? Because you're casting truth before those who are unable to handle truth. Be very wise about this. Some things you cannot avoid. So when the city council says, "Will you come and pray?" "Sure, of course." "Okay, yeah, we're glad that you're here, but you can't, can you not say Jesus' name?" "See, well, you should have told me that 15 miles ago. I am now here, and I'll talk to my boss about that. Do you still want me to pray?" "Yes, oh, by all means, do pray. Your name's on the menu for tonight." "Okay, guess what? Lord, bless the city council, give them wisdom, protect them, bless their families. We thank you that they serve our community and that they've been appointed by you, according to Romans chapter 13. So God, we pray that you'd cause this city to dwell in peace and strength, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen." Because there is no prayer without his name. So watch this. Will people get their feathers ruffled? I guess. I've been doing this for 20 years. I have disobeyed that every time. I've never once had somebody say, "Didn't I tell you not to pray in Jesus' name?" I think somebody told them from Sacramento or from Washington, make sure they don't pray in Jesus' name. And it's never once been enforced. And so what if it is? My friend, you have within you the wisdom of God. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Not of This World, Part 2. Glad you could be with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. We all know that life is full of noise. The TV is on with news you often can't trust, dishes are clanging in the kitchen, and blaring sounds of rush hour traffic whiz by. It's enough to make your head spin, really. But it doesn't always have to be that way. We have special programming that can really soften the day's hectic pace. It's our Real Life Network. It's designed to give you relevant, life-changing programming for the whole family that you really can trust. Titles like Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire, Washington Watch by Tony Perkins, Happening Now with Pastor Jack, and Star-Spangled Adventures for the Little Patriots. You can relax and enjoy entertainment for the whole family. The Real Life Network, it's available on your favorite device anytime, anywhere, so don't miss a moment that really can enrich your life with shows that inspire instead of wear you down. Sign up today for free at reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.